Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host. I'm also a landscape designer, horticulturist, and garden author. And I love to help homeowners with their gardening questions. I would love to hear from you today. This is all about your questions today. You can give me a call, 1-888-888-455-2967. I don't have my tea. Good morning. How are you, Lizzie?
I'm doing good. I almost ran downstairs to go get your tea for you, too.
I know. I do have it. Tony made me a lovely cup of tea this morning, and it's in my car. I will go get it at the break. But it is a morning to be aware of, because you hear the phrase, red sky at night, sailor's delight, and red sky in morning, sailors take warning. And what did we see, Lizzie, on the drive-in?
It was red. It was gorgeous, though.
It was gorgeous.
So pretty, with little gray highlights of the clouds.
It was beautiful. So we are going to get a lot of rain today, early in this morning. They say around, 10 o'clock, it should be starting. And it's raining on the East Coast in some areas right now. And so what does that mean? Well, the weather has been exciting lately. We went through a really dry June, and it was interesting because it was the longest time Jacksonville's gone without rainfall. So Jacksonville had a little bit of a dry spell, driest June on record. And usually our rainy season starts June 1st. And so they have caught up in the last few days and even seen a chance for flooding. So you in North Florida, you're going to be getting lots of rain, anywhere from 3 to 4 inches this weekend. And it's just going to be lots of rain, and we can use it. So it's going to be good. But what does that mean? It means you need to turn off your irrigation sprinkler systems. I was walking at yards over this week, and I'm seeing a lot of fungal issues. And it's because we're not only getting the rainfall, but we're still watering. And that twice-a-week watering, when we're getting 2 inches, 1 inch to 2 inches of rain a week, means that you're going to see those fungal issues starting. Also, too, when do you water? If your irrigation timer is on at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock at night, you're going to see fungal issues starting, because the longer your landscape stays wet, the longer the turf stays wet, the longer your shrubs stay wet, the more fungus issues, disease issues you're going to see. So you want to keep that wet period within 5 hours. So irrigation systems should start between 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 to 6 o'clock in the morning. That way it's going to dry off before 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning, and that's going to reduce your chances of susceptibility to disease issues. All right, now let's say you're in a community where everyone waters at 6 o'clock in the morning, which is okay. I mean, I hope so, but your water pressure is down. When do you water? If you want to water a little bit earlier, or, at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, in the early evenings, that's okay, as long as you're not overwatering. If you're only watering once every couple of weeks during the summertime, when we go without water or we don't get that rainfall, that's going to be fine. But if you're watering often and you're watering in the early evening and early in the morning, 1, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, then you're just going to get the disease issues. And I can tell you, it will happen overnight. You cannot cure a fungus. You cannot cure it. You can only prevent it.
What should they be looking out for? Like as a beginning stage, I mean, obviously you'll see fungus later on, but.
Right. Yeah. Well, what you should be looking out for is squishy lawns. Okay. So walk through your lawns, and you really don't need to water. We get enough rainfall during the summertime. Irrigation systems can be shut off. So walk your lawn. If your grass blades, okay, so walk about 20 feet, then turn around and look at your footsteps. If your grass, you cannot see where you walked, then you don't need to irrigate. Okay, so if your grass is springing right back up again, it has enough water in the blades. It is already, absorbed it. It's got plenty of water. It's hydrated. Then you don't need to irrigate. If you can see your footsteps in the turf, that the blades have not popped back up in your turf, and it doesn't matter whether it's St. Augustine, even a zoysia grass, you'll see the foot imprint. then you need to water. Okay. And it doesn't mean you need to overwater. 1 inch of irrigation a week will go down 20 inches in the soil.
Now, how do we, unless we have like a rain measurement, how can we determine how much water is coming out whenever you're watering?
Well, that's a really good question, Lizzie. And it's, you talk about calibrating your irrigation systems. Now, that sounds really technical, but it's as technical as getting a tuna fish can, dog food, cat food can. Everybody eats most of one of those three things. And so then you mark 1 inch in the can. And then you put it out into your zone, pick one zone, and you can put between 8 to 10 cans out. Space them out evenly, and then time how long it takes to fill that can up to 1 inch. And that's how long you turn your irrigation sprinklers on for, and that's enough to give you 1 inch of water. Now, if you're doing it twice a week, then it would be a half inch in that can, and you turn it on for that amount of time. But lawn, you know, your turf can go 1 week, 7 days without water. And if it can't, you have a spoiled lawn. And you have done this yourself. Okay, so you just want to make sure that your landscape's getting 1 inch to 1.5 inches of water. I'll give you 2 inches of water a week.
Ooh, thank you.
But you do not need any more than that. Got a great show for you today. If you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
I'm a firefighter.
A teacher.
I'm a farmer.
I'm a barber.
A waitress.
A mom.
We're all part of your community. Every day we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life. It's when you experience a moment of uncertainty, something or someone's behavior that doesn't seem quite right.
These are the moments to take a pause.
Because if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not.
It's not about paranoia.
Or being afraid.
It's about standing up and protecting our communities.
One detail at a time.
Because a lot of little details can become a pattern.
We
trust our instincts.
Just like you should.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism. I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You've seen me around the neighborhood, and you've told me I'm a pretty good kid. Well, I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we could grow up and be whatever we want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. There's enough food in this country to feed everyone. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. If you're a parent and are worried about your child's social and emotional development, you may have asked yourself questions like, am I over-worrying this issue? Are my son's tantrums typical? What if my daughter has a disability? If so, you're not alone. Thankfully, researchers are helping parents answer these questions. In fact, there's a new groundbreaking study on childhood mental health through Duke University. The Autism and Beyond study is aimed to test new video technology that can analyze a child's emotions and behaviors. And this will lead to tools that will eventually determine an earlier diagnosis. Because the early years of a child's development really matter, children with autism and mental health issues can have fruitful lives when they receive that early diagnosis. Would you like to learn more? Then just visit today, disabilitycampaign.org.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I want to welcome everyone who gets up in the morning and drinks a cup of coffee and a cup of tea with us. And, you know, just they just start their day with Better Lawns and Gardens.
We have some of the best listeners, but I think that you were being a little, oh, I wish I had my tea. So if you're out there drinking tea, drink one on Teresa.
That's so true. I will get through it. I will really handle it. But Lizzie, this week we had a lot of lightning. And I will tell you, I'm a big fan of lightning and thunder. I love it.
Me too.
And
me too.
It's really interesting that after a rainstorm that you walk out and you can smell the chlorophyll in the air. You can smell the nitrogen in the air. And
awesome.
You can see the grass turning green. Have you ever noticed that the grass looks greener after a rainstorm?
Very true.
That's because the nitrogen ions in the atmosphere, they cluster together when they have the lightning, and the lightning fuses it together, and it's like fertilizing the lawn.
Well, now I got a question. Have you ever noticed that whenever you get caught in a rainstorm, and then whenever it dries, your hair is super, super soft compared to normal?
Yes.
Why?
Yeah,
that's it?
That's it. You know, it's all those, you know, chemicals in the air that, you know, add to, you know, the rainwater. Washing your hair with rainwater is good.
There you go.
And so, yes. So, you know, when we're going through, I have a question here on text messages. If you'd like to give us a text message, you can send it 23680. We're getting to those. And your phone call, 1-888-455-2967. If you are wanting to fertilize your lawn during the summertime, there's a fertilizer ban out. So you really can do it. It's a fertilizer ban for all plants, lawns, turf. If you have fruit trees or vegetable gardens, you can usually, you know, fertilize those and raise beds and things like that. But you want to make sure that you don't fertilize before a rainstorm. You know, that was what we grew up with. Oh, here it's going to rain this afternoon. I better get the fertilizer down. And, you know, we just grew up thinking that. And seeing our parents do it and seeing the neighbors do it. And that's a really big no-no. If the neighbors do it, you just might want to check it out. You don't necessarily want to do everything the neighbors do because it's usually wrong. And but you always fertilize after a rainstorm. After a rainstorm where you can control the water if you need to put water, if the instruction labels say water after applying, you know, a fertilizer or herbicide, you always want to do it after a rainstorm, not before.
That's a good point. Well, really, I mean, I can remember growing up and my dad saying, okay, well, we need to fertilize in before there's a storm coming. And that makes sense because we don't know how much rain is going to get dumped.
And it comes down so quickly. So the first
Correct.
In the first 15 minutes of a storm, it's usually coming down so hard that it washes everything away on the surface.
That's true.
And so, you know, you can say, oh, well, I don't know why my lawn didn't do anything because I fertilized. Well, did you fertilize right before a rainstorm and it washed it away and it never got down into the roots? So always fertilize after a rainstorm, never before. And you don't do it now during the summertime anyway. So, you know, the next time we're going to be fertilizing is in late September, September 30th. October 1st is when the fertilizer ban gets lifted. And so, you know, during the heat of the summertime, the plants are growing. The turf is growing. If you do not like to mow your lawn, why are you fertilizing it and telling it to grow?
Because the HOA is forcing these people to do it. I don't know.
You know, and so it's not necessary. So we have the nitrogen in the atmosphere. We have the rainfall. We have the heat. Your lawn is going to grow. And so there's really no reason to put down fertilizer. And so that's a good thing. Now, an upper level low is going to bring higher rain chances, like I said, this week. So a lot of rainfall. I know Jim and Bob in North Florida, they're going to argue with me, but the amount of rain, they did have a drought that spread into Georgia this week. And so these conditions are getting lifted now because of the rainfall that they are getting. And so that's going to be good. South Florida, you're going to get plenty of rain this week too as well. So just remember, 1 inch of water, you don't need to turn your irrigation system on. Now, what can you do if you think you're getting a fungus? Always do it preventatively. So if you get a fungus every year, go ahead, start in June, put down a fungicide. Then in July, you can reapply it, and that should get you through the summer with no fungus issues. You can use BioAdvanced Fungus Control for lawns, you know, or you can do Scott's Disease. They have a lawn disease X is their lawn fungicide. And then Spectracide has Immunox fungus plus insect control for lawns. And this week, again, walking the lawns, we have sod webworms in Florida here. They are, you know, the cycle is here. They are laying eggs. So again, walking your lawns is a really good practice for homeowners and gardeners, let you know what's going on in your turf. And so yesterday I was seeing sod webworm moths coming up. And so you don't apply the grubicide or the chemical for killing sod webworms when you see the worms or when you see the moths. They're laying eggs. And so if you put it down when the moths are flying, then it's going to, it's going to erode. It's going to leach through, and it's not going to be there when the larvae start to eat your grass. So you want to wait 2 to 3 weeks after you see the highest amount of sod webworm moths. So if you're walking through your yard and you see 1, 2, 3 in your whole yard, no big whoop. But if you're starting to see 10, 15, 20, you see a little cloud coming up, then you wait 2 weeks. And then you put down the pesticide.
Okay, what are they? Are they moths? Are they spiders? Are they worms? Because you have a lot of information, informational okay. name.
So,
what is
so it? The moths are flying. They're here, and they are laying the eggs that will hatch into the larva.
Okay.
And the larva is what will eat the your roots. And
okay.
So it's a combination of it. So the life cycle, you know, you see
Got
the little
it.
Egg, then it turns into the larva, then it turns in, you know, it pupates, and then it turns into the moth.
There
and
you go.
So
right.
You know, so but it's just be aware. We can catch so many problems when it's a small problem. And look at your shrubs while you're doing that. Lift the leaves. See if you see some activity going on, something unusual. This is the time of the year you do not want to be cutting back your azaleas. You do not want to be cutting back your gardenias, your hydrangeas. You don't want to be cutting them back now. The time for that is over with. If you have a branch that's going wacko and it's, you know, growing more than some of the other branches, you can clip one off. That's not saying you can't cut, you know, a branch off. You can always take off branches of your shrubs and trees if they're going to be removed permanently. Okay, so let's say the tree has a low limb and you just want to take it off. You don't have to wait for a certain time of the year to do that. You can do that anytime. But as far as flowering shrubs for spring, you want to not cut them back anymore. Okay, and so that's a good thing to do. Now, we have our vegetable gardens right now are kind of at the end of the season. If you may still have tomatoes on the vine, lucky you. But the only tomatoes and peppers that are growing right now are the cherry tomatoes. You could have some peppers, you know, blooming right now, but in temperatures over 85 degrees, regular tomatoes do not, they do not get pollinated. And so cherry tomatoes do, but not regular tomatoes. And now's the time that you want to be buying the seeds or starting transplants if you're saving seeds of your tomatoes that you have at home, which is really easy to do. And so you can go ahead and start those now for transplanting in August. And so August is the start of our vegetable season for fall. And we'll be telling you about that, but now's the time to get those seeds started. So, hi, Teresa. Can you recommend what to do to control weeds, especially in Bermuda grass in garden beds? Is there a product sold at either a box store or a garden center? And many thanks. And they said they enjoy the show, and I love that. We enjoy having you out there, and that's wonderful. Okay, so weeds right now, herbicides too hot to put down. You're going to hurt your grass. You're going to damage plants. If you put down herbicides when the temperatures are over 85 degrees, the Bermuda grass is going to be stronger, and the weeds are going to be stronger than the herbicide. It's your turf and your landscape that's going to suffer. So right now, the best way to do is cut it out, dig it up, pull it out. If you've got a weed in your lawn, this is the time to hire the next-door neighbor's little boy and give That's them right. some summer money and say, can you pull the weeds? My kids, they used to moan, oh, Mom, why do we have to pull weeds?
Because you're eating my groceries out of my house.
And so they would just moan. But I will tell you now that they have children of their own. They call and say, Mom, it's so great. Their kids are pulling weeds. And I love that. So it's a good thing. But don't use any herbicides in the summertime. Unless you're wanting to kill whatever area you are to start a new garden bed or you're solarizing, then you can do that. I have a thick, healthy yard of St. Augustine. Yay, go you. If I don't run each zone for an hour, each zone twice a week, I get really bad dry patches. I've watched, and sprinklers are covering the yard equally. I hope someone gets your tea during the next break. I will get my tea during the next break. My husband's good enough to make it for me. Okay, so here's the issue there. The symptoms for overwatering and underwatering are the same.
They are.
If you water your zone twice a week and it starts to go dry, you have a short root system and you're creating the problem itself. Let the lawn, let the rainfall that we're getting now be enough. Let it go through that dry spell and push those roots down, you know, longer or deeper. Mother Nature knows how to grow grass, so let her do it. Okay, so if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us at 23680. Also, please go to our Facebook page. Lizzie, our Facebook page is growing.
It really is.
It's growing so well, and we love having all of you on with us. You can ask your questions on our Facebook page, and that's Better Lawns on, you can go BLG Radio. Just Google Better Lawns and Gardens, and you will find all of that information. We're going to be right back after a word from our sponsors. If you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text at 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Okay. I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
For too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. Made possible by volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible for thousands of families. Who will you march for?
This Saturday, the Florida Gators travel to Tennessee.
Kickoff is set for 3:30 Eastern, with pregame coverage beginning at 12:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Central.
Catch all the action on air or online on our sister station, News Radio WFLA Orlando, the home of the Florida Gators.
You might be working with someone to manage your wealth, but is the relationship working for you? Join Edelman Financial Engines on Tuesday, July 19th at 3 p.m., or 8 p.m. Eastern, for our brand new virtual event, Why Choosing the Right Wealth Planner Matters, presented by best-selling author Gene Chatsky. You can register now at planefe.com. You'll see why all financial planners are not created equal. Gene will show you why having the right partner can have a big impact on your financial future, and how to know if your advisor is looking out for your best interests. Don't miss this important virtual event. Join us for Why Choosing the Right Wealth Planner Matters with Gene Chatsky on Tuesday, July 19th at 3 p.m. or 8 p.m. Eastern. There's no cost to attend and no obligation. Register now at planefe.com. That's planefe.com. Edelman Financial Engines. From here forward.
Water leaks are serious, so call the experts that the pros call on. Call the Leak Doctor at 407-426-9995. Whether your leak is above or below ground, the Leak Doctor will find it without damaging your property or disrupting your business. Plus, the Leak Doctor has a proven track record of finding the most difficult leaks in commercial buildings and residential, and they're the experts on WFLA's Home Improvement Show. Call 407-426-9995 or visit leakdoctor.com.
Orlando Painting Company is Orlando's leading residential and commercial painting contractor with over 50 years of experience. When you contact Orlando Painting Company, ask for the WFLA Home Improvement Show special of $150 off a complete exterior residential painting. Call 407-839-3839 or visit their website at orlandopaintingcompany.com to learn more or to get a free estimate. Orlando Painting Company, painting Orlando beautiful.
With hurricane season here, the safety of your home and family is top of mind. Alan Spector here to tell you that you can ease your worries by installing hurricane impact windows from FHIA Remodeling. These windows offer protection from hurricane force winds and flying debris. That means you can forget about the time-consuming and potentially dangerous process of putting up shutters. FHIA Remodeling's hurricane impact windows are manufactured right here in Florida with a lifetime warranty, and you can leave all the work to their factory certified installers. This month from FHIA Remodeling, buy four windows, get the fifth free. All other products, 20% off, or no money down, no payments, and no interest for 18 months. Plus, no sales tax for impact-resistant windows and doors during July. Schedule a risk-free in-home consultation by calling 407-5200, 407-5200. That's 407-5000-200.
Research shows listeners don't like it when ads interrupt their music. So to help you remember that Liberty Mutual customizes home insurance, we made this ad optional. If you want to skip this ad, remove your left earphone. Liberty Mutual customizes home insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
If you're missing this informative ad, you must love wasting your cash.
It's the easy and smart way to save.
Now it's all been said, so if that earphone was out, put it back in your head.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
People join Walk MS to raise awareness and funds that change the world for everyone affected by multiple sclerosis. MS attacks the brain and spinal cord. It's the most common neurological disease leading to disability in young adults. Walk MS brings communities together, creating teams with friends, loved ones, and coworkers to rally around those we care about and end MS forever. Join us. Together we are stronger. Walk MS fundraising accelerates research breakthroughs and life-changing breakthroughs. It will take all of our passion, determination, and fundraising to end MS forever. Together, we can change the world for people with MS. Join us. Register today, start a team, and raise funds at walkms.org.
Inflation, gas prices, and rising costs are top of mind right now. How about an inflation vacation with your chance to win $1,000 every hour? Listen to Win $1,000 weekdays 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Good luck. Brought to you by Mills Air.
Mills Air has been in business since 1992, right here in Central Florida. That's over 29 years. They're not going anywhere. Carrier, factory authorized dealer. Turn to the experts. That's Mills Air. It's equipment changeout time. You can get upgrades up to $1,275 in rebates. Go to millsair.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm your host, landscape designer, horticulturist, and garden author. Thank you for joining us this morning. This is the time to get your questions answered that you've been thinking about all week. South Florida, I would love to hear from you. What's blooming in your area? What pests you are seeing? And so you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text us at 23680.
And it looks like South Florida has chimed in. They have a text about large lizards.
Large lizards. It goes, I'm in South Florida. Good morning. Thank you for calling. Where can I find large lizard traps? They are 12-inch long iguana lizards. Okay. And so this is the issue with trapping. Okay. And so the lizards, iguanas can be dangerous. So you got to be very careful in trapping them. But you can go to the box stores or to pet stores, and you can get the animal traps that are long enough. You have to get a cage size that's big enough, and some of them are 2 feet long. So you have to get nice big ones. But then once you have it, what are you going to do with it?
That's the key.
So, you know, you really, to release an animal out in the wild, you need to make sure that you have a license or that you have permission of the owner of the property where you're releasing it from. It's against the law to do it in national parks and federal park areas. And so, or you can kill it, you know. And so those are your options, is to trap them and, you know, kill it. Or I would suggest the best way to do it is to get a professional to do it. Yes. Get a wildlife control officer, you know, or a company, wildlife control company, to do it for you. They have the licenses. They know how to do it. Either that, or you just need to know a couple of good old boys that want to have.
Well, they say that they're pretty good eating, so I'm not encouraging you to eat them, but
no.
That's what I've heard from a few people in South Florida, so
yeah.
I don't know.
But it's good to hear from you, South Florida, and, you know, because in the wintertime, they freeze and they just drop to the ground.
Right, but then they wake up.
They do wake up. It's so crazy, isn't it? Okay, so I love that you texted South Florida, so do that. So, good morning, Teresa. Could you let us know when it's appropriate to prune back avocado trees? Is it after you pick the fruit? I'd like to top off my two trees as they're getting too tall. And that's from Jean in Palm Bay. And she did everything correct. She gave us the question. She gave us her name. She gave us her location.
Love it.
And that's how we get really great answers to the questions. We know exactly what to do, Jean. So thank you very much. So the best time to do it is after you harvest. You can really cut the tree down to 10 to 15 feet tall. So you can whack an avocado tree back pretty hard after you harvest all the fruit. And you don't want to do it so late that you're going to push that new growth out for the winter time. So, you know, right now is a good time to go ahead and do it, you know, July, August, September. I probably wouldn't do it after September.
When do avocados, like, really grow healthy? Like,
well, right now? Now they
How long does it take for them to produce?
Well, they produce the flowers in the springtime.
Okay.
And then it takes about 90 days to 120 days for them to grow and ripen.
I love avocados.
I know, I do too. Don't you? I love them. They do so well here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do so well. And so that leads me to my next. Oh, it's not an iguana. Okay, so South Florida texted back. It's not an iguana. So it is an agama. Okay, so that was the correct spelling, an agama lizard. Well, I would just say the same thing. You know, I don't know how big they get. I'll look that up during the break because I don't know what size they get.
Check with your local police department and county animal control first before you do anything.
Yeah. Again, you know, these lizards get pretty big, so you don't want to get a bite or anything like that on it. And if you want to, you know, put some fruit in there, they love the fruit. And you'll capture them real easy that way. So thank you for the clarification. So the next message is a follow-up. I'm so glad you guys are listening. It's like we're having a conversation here. Thank you for taking my question on controlling weeds in beds. As a follow-up, I heard that using vinegar can be effective. Any thoughts? And vinegar is effective, but it's also going to kill the grass too as well. So, you know, it just depends. If you're spot treating, that may be okay to do, but it's not going to permanently get rid of it. What you're going to do is burn it. And so that's the difference between using herbicides, which will kill the weed and even sometimes have a pre-emergent, you know, combined with it so that it will prevent it from coming back. Vinegar is going to kill it, but you don't know if it's going to get all the way down to the root and not prevent it to come back. So, you know, in the cracks of, you know, sidewalks and stuff like that, you know, yeah, you can do that because it's not, you can just keep spraying it until it actually dies.
Yeah, probably you'd keep testing it over and over. But how would you use a vinegar mixture if you kind of wanted to go that route? Would you mix it with some water also or
no,
just do solid vinegar?
I would do solid vinegar.
Okay.
Okay. And so the vinegar too is very acidic. So it's going to change the pH. It's going to zap it and, you know, and destroy it. But is it going to prevent it from, or is it going to completely kill it,
right,
or just make it sick? You know, and you don't want to torture weeds. Let's just go ahead and get rid of them and, you know, go ahead and kill it and be done with it. You don't want it to go to seed. And that's the hard part, is that, you know, the weeds in the summertime are growing as fast as the turf, if not faster. Don't let them go to seed. Make sure you're mowing your lawns so that the seeds, the weed seeds, do not, you know, doesn't flower, doesn't get the seeds. And also in the beds, you want to weed so that they don't go to flower. So if you're looking at a garden bed that has a lot of weeds in it and you can see the flowers, you're just going to have a lot of work in front of you. You don't want to do that. Okay, so catch it before you do. Also, too, sod webworms, we talked about that, the grub sites. So you want to make sure this is a time, again, always good maintenance of lawns means you're walking it on a regular basis. Good morning, Teresa. I live, Anna here. Good morning, Anna. I live in Orlando, and I have 3 elephant ear bulbs that I would like to plant outside my house. Can you please give me instructions on that? Yes. Depends on what we're talking about. If you're talking about the taro, the big elephant ear ones, then I would not advise you planting them outside. I would advise you to plant them in a container large enough that it will look beautiful, but it's not going to spread. They're considered invasive, and we just don't recommend putting those big ones right into the ground. If it is one of the alocasias or colocasias that have been growing commercially, then that you can put those in the ground. They won't spread as much, but the taro you don't want to do. Thank you for all your text questions and your calls. We need calls, Lizzie. 1-888-455-2967. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is a time to get your questions answered. If you love gardening, you have a passion, you can let me know what's growing in your yard. South Florida, Miami, St. Petersburg, West Palm Beach. We'd love to hear from you and find out what's going on down there. North Florida, we'd love to hear from you this morning and let us know how you're handling it. And it's going to be lovely on the East Coast. Lots of rain this morning, red skies at night, sailor's delight. Red skies in morning, sailors take warning, but we're going to have some storms today, but we need it. We need the rain, so enjoy. Just spend the day planning your fall garden. That would be a great way to do it. And then tomorrow, we're going to have rain again, so turn those irrigation systems off. So let's go to our text line. We cannot take pictures on our text line, Lizzie.
That's a good point.
Right. So if you have a photo that you would like to send me, and a garden photo, I should clarify, you can email me at Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A, dot Watkins, W-A-T-K-I-N-S, at live.com. Teresa.Watkins@live.com.
I have a message here that says, Lizzie, my hibiscus plant has taken off, and I need to trim it back. Is it okay to do it at this time?
Yes, it is. I always suggest cutting back hibiscus twice a year, once in February after all the freezes are gone, late February, and then another time in July or August. And I try to do it right before I go on vacation, so it looks whacked, like a bad haircut.
I was going to say, how far back do you need to cut it?
Well, you can always cut plants back by a third without hurting it. Okay, so you can cut it back by a third in height, a third in density, a third in the width. You can cut it back by a third and not hurt it.
Well, now, what if it's obnoxiously overgrown? How far back should you cut it that it won't send it into shock or kill it?
Well, it's going to send it into a little bit of a shock, you know, but when you cut things back, you stimulate growth. And so I would say, you know, keeping it at 3 to 4 feet tall. So if it's 7, 8 feet tall, cutting it down to 3 to 4 feet, which is half of its height, is not going to damage it, especially if it's established.
And usually
if it's like 8 feet tall, it's established.
And if you're not sure about 3 to 4 feet tall, find what about an 8-year-old child and have them stand next to it. And that's your measurement, maybe. I don't know.
Don't cut the child. You know, right. Move the child before the weed whacker or the hedge pruners. You use those. All right. So, okay. So Stan and Bartow. Good morning, Stan. It's only a matter of time before every Florida county adopts year-round pest, herbicide, fertilizer bans, untreated lawns look as good as stinky treated ones. Can't we both save ourselves along with the manatees? Well, you know, here's my opinion on that, and this is my experience. Everything that is on the shelf that we can buy for use in our landscapes is safe when used only when necessary and according to the label.
That's the thing. People don't follow the labels or read the area where you're not supposed to spray or whenever you have a waterfall.
We're taking these chemicals off the market, not because they are necessarily bad, but because we can't control people. And it says only use once a year or twice a year, and people are using it every month. So it's showing up in our water supply, or it's damaging, you know, certain areas, you know, of our habitats. And so it's important to understand that reading the label is fine. And when we're talking about, you know, chemicals and use of that, we just have to remember all the chemicals that we do need. We do need to use salt. We do need to have H2O. And those are chemicals. So when we think about chemicals, we need to get out of the harsh opinions of them and think about what is really going on and what the science is. And so, you know, just all the products on the market are safe when used only as necessary and according to the label.
And there's a lot of information on the label that people don't continue to read, as where are you near water? Do you have heavy rains coming up? Just different things.
The temperature, you know, yes. What is your temperature in your zone? What zone are you in? Are you using the right, zones? Because what we use up north, it could be by the same company, mm-hmm. you can't use here in Florida.
Correct.
So it's important for people who are coming back and forth from north to the south that they don't bring products down from up north and think they can use them here in Florida and think their landscape's going to survive.
My dad was bad about that. He was from Maine, and he would do that. He would just assume that whatever you could use in New England, you could use down here in Florida. So
right. No, you've got to read the label, and you can always contact your extension company. Or here's the really good, you know, piece of information. On every chemical bottle, on every label, is an 800 number.
Ooh.
And you can call the company directly, and they will answer all of your questions.
Good point.
Yeah. So, you know, if you have a question and it's not Saturday morning and you're not listening to me, then you can, you know, Better Lawns and Gardens, then you can call the company. So how do you care for an olive tree, and when does it blossom? Well, olive trees grow really well here in Central Florida and in South Florida, and they do very well. And so their care is pretty easy, you know, full sun, you know, proper moisture. So I would say, you know, once it's established, you know, rainfall is good once or twice a week during dry periods. And then, of course, the proper time to fertilize. Okay, so you're going to need to have it be on a regular basis because you're growing flowers and fruit on a tree. And so you're going to want it to fertilize it correctly. Now, when does it blossom? Well, it can blossom here in Florida as early as February 20th, the mid portion of February. But usually it's April and May is when they bloom. And you have to know that pruning them back is good because olive trees only bear one fruit, which is called a drupe, on a branch one time.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so when you cut it, you're going to produce more branches, and then those will get fruit.
Now, does it need a mate?
It depends on the type of olive tree you have. The Oleo Europeana doesn't need one. It's self-fertilizing, but some of the other varieties do need to have. Olive trees are wind-pollinated for the most part. Mm. And so the wind, it helps now to have more olive trees, and then that's going to spread the pollen, you know, with the wind a little bit more. but not for all varieties. The Oleo Europeana does not need one.
You just made my day, and my husband is going to be so mad at you, just so you know. Heads up, because I love olives, and I love putting olives in my margaritas, which
yes.
if you've never tried them, try them.
Oh, I've got
and
to.
And now I have a little pasture out back where the pumpkins have decided to grow fungus again, and I'm going to uproot them, and I'm going to put olive trees.
Oh, there you go. Now, see, in Eustis, olive trees do very well. So, you know, Lake County has really great ability to grow olive trees. So Central Florida is lucky that in that way. So what can you be growing this time of the year? Most of all of your flowering plants, your plumbagos, your hibiscus, your gardenias, you know, roses do very well here in Florida, especially your, you know, low maintenance roses, like your drift roses, your knockout roses, but also too the David Austin roses. And in fact, next week, I am going to have the Redneck Rosarian. He is going to be with us live next week. And you're going to want to hear all of his tips on growing roses. Let's go to the call. We got Richard in, let's see, in Winter Park. Good morning, Richard. How can I help?
Good morning, Teresa. My backyard backs up on a conservation easement. And a couple years ago, I noticed in back of my neighbor's yard, had some really tall, they kind of look like sunflowers, but they're like 20 to 30 feet tall. And last week I had one or two of these growing in my yard. They get really, really tall. And I cut them down as low as I could. And this year they are like all over my yard. They're like taking over my yard. And
yeah.
I don't know how to get rid of them. Do you know what I can do?
Well, what is there? So you're going up to a conservation area, and is it a wet conservation area or a dry?
It's pretty much dry.
Okay.
Where my yard is located, way back in the middle, it's wet. But
okay,
it's
do you dry. Have do you have turf back there, or is it just a sunflower?
Well, I have, I don't have any turf. It's these. Huge sunflowers,
yeah.
And I have I have other plants growing. I have a couple of fish ponds, growing.
I would be careful. Right. I would be careful. You're just going to have to make sure that they don't go to bloom, and you can use herbicides on them. They are very invasive, and I don't, these are the Brazilian sunflowers. So I've got to run, Richard, but you can use an herbicide on them, but I would wait until I would cut them down and keep them from blooming so the seeds don't get growing next year. Okay?
Okay, great. All right. Thank you,
Richard. I'm sorry. Thank you for listening. We love that you're out there. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.